This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today's show is all about music and dance. Coming up first on the program, we're going to meet one of the co-authors of a groundbreaking new book called In Too Deep, When Canadian Punks Took Over the World, written by Matt Bobkin and Adam Feibel. Matt Bobkin will join us on the program to tell us all about it. And later on in the show, we will meet dancer and choreographer Deb Weir, who is the founder and CEO of Boogie Babies, a dance-based fitness program for moms and babies, toddlers and preschoolers. Can it also be for grandmas and grandchildren? Yay, I want to come. But first, we're going to meet co-author Matt Bobkin, whose book In Too Deep, published by the very respected publishing house Anansi Press. The book is a fascinating look at how Canada became the improbable birthplace of a new age of punk icons, covering the rowdy punk rock of Gob and Sum 41, the arena-sized ambitions of Simple Plan and Marianas Trench, the reinvention of the pop star by Avril Lavigne and Fifi Dobson, and the quest to bring hardcore into the mainstream by Billy Talent, Silverstein, and Alexis on Fire. Which, by the way, I learned is pronounced Alexis on Fire, not Alexis is on Fire, which I got a lot of education preparing for this show. As Michael Barclay, author of The Neverending Present, The Story of Gordon Downie and the Tragically Hip, wrote, rich storytelling and an ear for dialogue that put the reader in the recording studio and backstage. It is exquisitely written, I have to say that. But I'm going to go even further to say it puts the reader into the homes and garages of many Canadian punk music artists. So many Canadian punk rock bands, that's where they got their start, in garages and basements and bedrooms. And they were formed by close friends or classmates in smaller Canadian cities and suburbs like Mississauga or Winnipeg or Burlington, where there were actually very few musical professional opportunities. So teens and 20-somethings built their own music scenes, often starting with nothing but a drum kit, some cheap guitars, and a garage. And what's so cool about all of this is that many of these bands honed their sound long before they ever hit the big stage. And this extremely well-written and evocative book, In Too Deep, is a window into these grassroots beginnings of punk rock. And it documents how these Canadian punk rocker bands began in the basements and bedrooms and garages all over our country, and then ended up landing on world stages and world stadiums all over the world. And as the book's synopsis describes it, it's the journey of small-town Canadian punks who forged their music careers from the ground up, bringing a DIY spirit to the global stage. Authors Matt Bobkin and Adam Feibel do this by focusing on bands like Sum 41, Simple Plan, Billy Talent, Alexis on Fire, and Silverstein. And it's all about how these Canadian punks launch themselves, as I just mentioned, onto grand stages and grand stadiums all over the world. So for me, Matt, the coolest thing is that I knew nothing about punk rock when I began reading this book. And now I'm really loving the music, the vibe, the clothes, and all of this, not to mention your incredible book. Anyway, before we get into more of all of this with Matt Bobkin, let me tell you a little bit more about him. Matt Bobkin is a Toronto-based arts journalist and music critic. Most of his work uses music as a lens to explore global issues such as identity, gender, disability, and gentrification. Matt was the features editor at Canadian music magazine Exclaim from 2016 to 2022. And what's so cool is that he actually did a cover with Billie Eilish. He did a cover story with Billie Eilish, and that was really cool. His work has appeared in the National Post, Vice, and Brooklyn Magazine. His first book, In Too Deep, When Canadian Punks Took Over the World, looks at the impact of musicians. We mentioned some of them, Avril Lavigne, Sum 41, Simple Plan. As mentioned, it's written with fellow Toronto-based music critic Adam Feibel, and it's out via House of Anansi Press. They had their launch party last night. Matt Bobkin, welcome back to Finding Your Bliss. It's great to have you here live on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Judy, and thank you for the lovely introduction.
Of course. So We were on the air together about a year ago, and you announced that you and your co-author, Adam Feibel, were launching your first book, In Too Deep, When Canadian Punks Took Over the World, which, as just mentioned, tells the unlikely story of a bunch of small-town Canadian punks in the early 2000s who conquered the global music industry and changed the genre of punk forever. And I can't believe that it finally happened, that you had your book launch last night at the Rivoli. First of all, how did that go? That must have been so exciting.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, we sold out the Rivoli. We had over 250 people there. We had a live pop punk karaoke band. So people would go on stage and sing some of the songs by these artists. We also had Ian DeSaw, the guitarist of Billy Talent, show up as the special guest. And we got him on stage and we asked him some questions and we just hung out. And it was amazing. It was just a really lovely celebration of this Canadian art that brought multiple generations together. And I'm really thrilled to have been able to tell these band's stories and then celebrate with friends old and new.
So fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit more about your brainchild, In Too Deep, When Canadian Punks Took Over the World, and more just about the story of the Canadian punk music industry, and I quote, the punks who defied the odds to become the world-conquering icons they never dreamed they could be. I love that line.
So when I was growing up in the early 2000s watching Much Music, there were, you know, bands like Sum 41 from Ajax and Billy Talent from Mississauga, and I didn't realize how weird that was to have big Canadian superstars until I was writing about music professionally in my late teens and early 20s and realized that it's really tough for Canadian musicians to get massive on the world stage, just based on the fact that we import so much American content into Canada, makes it really difficult. And so realizing that this music that I grew up on had this very strange treasure trove of Canadians had me thinking, as I was revisiting this music in my late 20s a couple of years ago, revisiting, like, trying to figure out why exactly this happened. Why is pop punk the Canadian genre, like the most Canadian genre on the world stage in the last 50, 60 years in the history of modern music?
What did you arrive at? What was one of the quick learnings about all of this?
I think that Canadian suburbs are really weird, where, like, in an American suburb, if you take, like, Southern California, where bands like Blink-182 and Green Day kind of created the pop punk template, you have so many people there that you can have 40 bands that all sound the same and do the same thing, because if you're into punk, you go to the punk shows. If you're into metal, you go to the metal shows. They're completely different scenes. Canadian suburbs, because we have so few people, you get the metal kids and the hip-hop kids and the punk kids all go to the same shows, so the bands have these really weird eclectic influences. And so when the genre was transforming in the early 2000s and evolving, Canadian bands were primed to be the source of that evolution because they were drawing from way more influences than their American counterparts.
So cool. I want to just jump to the band Sum 41 and their song In Too Deep. It really does showcase the garage DIY origins of Canada's punk pop explosion. That's a tongue twister. It's all about friends forming bands locally, crafting demos in basements and building scenes from scratch long before their mainstream success. I'd love to play a snippet from the song, which is also the title of your book, In Too Deep. Matt, can you set the song up for us?
Yeah, I mean, I actually did the song at karaoke last night with Adam at the Rivoli. I mean, it's just a really catchy pop punk song that lures you in with the melodies. And it's just, I think it just really soundtracks that kind of suburban angst from that time and just the frustrations of growing up and being young and just dealing with all the stuff that kids need to deal with.
Is it weird that I'm not a kid and I'm, like, loving this song?
No, because pop punk is for everyone. This music transcends generation, and I'm thrilled to hear that it's connecting with you.
Thanks to you. So without further ado, let's all have a little listen to In Too Deep. Due to international copyright law, podcasts are unable to include music. Music can only be played on the live radio broadcast. Finding Your Bliss airs every Saturday at 1 p.m. If you'd like to hear this artist's music, you can find the link to our Finding Your Bliss SoundCloud in the episode description. Oh my God, I love that song. It's so catchy and it's so iconic. I have to really tell you more about this, Matt. Before the interview, I really knew nothing about punk rock. And I'm a girl who always wears white As I read your fabulous book and started to listen to all these incredible songs, I started imagining getting a nose ring, wearing black t-shirts and colorful neckties. Your books kind of made me fall in love with punk rock. It's so cool. And speaking of neckties and t-shirts, I love the colorful photos in the book. They're fabulous, especially that great shot of Evril wearing her signature black t-shirt and loosened tie. And we got to talk about her. I love that she was born in Belleville, Ontario, in this unassuming middle-class city. That's my mom's hometown, actually. And then Evril moved to Napanee, Ontario, when she was 5 years old. And I never knew this. She was a hockey player. Mm-hmm. She was an athlete. She was feisty. And she was also very, very musical from a very young age. And I love when you write, and I quote, released in March 2002, Complicated, her song, was a smash hit. Listening to the first few seconds, it's clear the show is a showstopper. The guitar chords burst out of the speakers, and Levine's voice is filled with angst that defines her generation. The song captures the state of mind of a typical teenager, a boiling mixture of anger, confusion, frustration, and betrayal that someone would ever commit one of the most heinous crimes of all teenage crimes, being an uptight, two-faced, stinking phony. That song made it to number two on the Billboard Hot 100 and ended up spending more than 7 months in the U.S. singles chart. It also was a hit in Canada and internationally, reaching top 10 in more than 20 countries. What do you love about that song? What do you love about Avril?
The thing with Avril is that when she came onto the scene, if you looked at young women in pop music, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Jessica Simpson, they were all kind of following like the mold of Madonna. They were all like, you know, very overtly sexualized, you know, blonde, you know, young women like dancing. And Avril looked at that and she said, hell no, I will not be doing that. I'm doing my own thing. This is the music that I like. She was listening to Blink 182 and Green Day and Nirvana, and she wanted to make music like that. And even though that she got a $1.2 million deal with Arista Records, so she was very entrenched in the pop system, she told every producer she worked with, I'm not making that crap that they're playing on the radio. I'm making the stuff that my friends and I listen to when we skip class. And that is really punk to me.
That's so fantastic. Without further ado, let's all have a listen to a little snippet from this great, another great song that's on my playlist now, Complicated. Watching your back like you can. Wow, can I just say that I love, love, love that song. And I just think it's so great. And I understand why there was this Avril mania. In fact, one of our producers, Siobhan, shared with me that she bought Avril's album, Let's Go, with her own money when she was only 6 years old. And then she begged her parents to get a studded belt after she saw Avril wearing one. I mean, she's just unbelievable. You interviewed her. Is that correct?
No, I didn't interview Avril. When I was editor at Exclaim magazine, I helped coordinate an interview with Avril for the magazine. But she was the one artist of the 9 chapters that we featured who wouldn't talk to us. She turned us down.
So you interviewed all the other people. And I was going to ask you about that. What was involved in putting that chapter together? Because it was so evocative. And it really told the whole story in a way that I've never read before. What was involved, especially for that chapter where you didn't get to see her fit, you know, in a one-on-one?
The great thing with Avril is that because she came into prominence in the early 2000s, in the dawn of this like internet age, all of her big interviews are still on the internet, and she has all these video clips on YouTube of her early interviews from the early 2000s. So her voice as a teenager when she was making this music is preserved. So we were able to have all those clips and preserve that voice, even though we didn't get to talk to her now.
That's so cool. I have to ask you, I know he's not here right now, Adam Feibel, your co-author, but I love the way you talk about each other in the acknowledgments. And specifically, I love when he writes, and Matt, a deeply thoughtful, savvy, and resourceful collaborator whose great idea turned into a successful project and, more importantly, a wonderful friendship and creative partnership comprising two people who, through our perfectly overlapping strengths and weaknesses, make up something resembling one normal fully functioning human being. How did you and Adam collaborate? How did you decide on the nine bands? And what was it like working together?
So I met Adam when I was the editor at Exclaim. He was one of the writers. And we just settled into a really nice groove working together where I could help him elevate his story. He would come to me with an idea or a first draft, and I would help him dial some parts back. Let's push some things forward. And we just had a really nice dialogue. And then we struck up a friendship because we loved these bands. And then when I came up with the idea, it was because of a conversation we had had. So, of course, I had to email him and ask him to write it with me. I never could have done it alone. He's amazing. He's just such a workhorse where every day he would just sit in his chair and write, you know, 500 words. And I'm not like that. I'm not regulated in that way. I would just like be unable to work for a week and then like, you know, spend 14 hours on the weekend just punching it out or writing until 2-3 in the morning and needing to get up for work the next day. And so we just really balanced each other out where he kind of moved things forward one step at a time. And then I would move 7 steps at a time, you know, a little less frequently. And in terms of settling on the bands, I mean, it happened pretty organically, like kind of right away. I mean, I was looking at that first email I sent him 4 years ago.
Wow.
And Sum 41, Fifi Dobson, Simple Plan, Avril Lavigne, Billy Talent were all in there. It was just part of the plan right away. It just had to be these 9 artists. It just kind of made sense that they were the 9 big exports, but also their stories together tell this kind of rise and fall of both pop punk on the world stage, but also the Canadian prominence.
Awesome. So did you write individually and then come together over a coffee or a dinner or a drink to sort of pool your resources? Did you meet on Zoom, all the above? What was the actual writing process like for 2 writing partners?
So the moment we started working on the idea, we had a weekly phone call every Tuesday at 6 p.m. when we were both finished work. And it was always a check-in of what we had done the previous week, which, of course, I had done on Monday night.
And he had done early.
Exactly. And so when it came to actually writing, we were really collaborative. When we didn't divide it up chapter by chapter, someone would take the lead for a chapter, but the other person would be on call for the interviews, kind of as backup, as like the secretary. So when someone would get stuck in writing a chapter, they could ask the other person to give them a hand and they could take it from there. So we were just kind of playing like tennis with 9 different chapters basically simultaneously. And it worked really well because we were always there to get the other one out of the rut.
Right. Was it almost like chronological, like starting with Gob and then like going all the way through to Fifi Dobson and Marianas Trench? Did it sort of go chronologically with what band happened first?
Chronologically with an asterisk, so Gob, our first chapter, because they didn't break out as much, they're kind of the introduction where instead of just having like 40 pages of exposition as to like 30 years of Canadian punk history, we had Gob kind of represent the 90s and say, this is what when Green Day is blowing up in California, this is what a Canadian band would do. They would not get nearly as popular. They'd get national success on Much Music, but they wouldn't be able to break out internationally. They're the case study. So Gob, we kind of put them at the end with Fifi Dobson and Marianas Trench, who were 2 artists who came up with punk influence, but then both had more success when they moved into a pop direction, because that's also what was happening to the bands like Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco at that time.
Yes.
So those 3 were the rise and fall, and we put those at the end, and then we had Simple Plan, Sum 41, and Avril Lavigne. They were our first batch. They were our big 3. Then we had our heavy 3, Silverstein, Billy Talent, Alexis on Fire. So we kind of broke it up into those 3 chunks, big 3, heavy 3, and then the beginning and ending.
And Silverstein, is it true that this was based on Shel Silverstein, the children's book? There's some connection between...
He's their namesake. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. They were trying to find out a band name, and they were looking at their, you know, the messy basement or the room, and they saw a book of his poetry, and they said, all right, let's do it.
That's so fabulous. We're going to go on a short commercial break, everyone. More with Finding Your Bliss and author Matt Bobkin when we come back. And also stay tuned for Deb Weir from Boogie Babies. All this coming up after this short break.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. We're here with Matt Bobkin and his book, In Too Deep, When Canadian Punks Took Over the World. And we were talking over the break. Let's talk about the band Simple Plan. I found it so interesting the way Pierre Bouvier, the lead singer, whom you write about having this very rebellious streak and how he started skateboarding around the suburbs of Montreal as a young guy. And he's in this band with his classmate Como, known as Chuck, and they split up for a time. And then they ended up back together in this new band, new configuration that Como had started. Correct me if I'm getting any of this mixed up, called Simple Plan, and they came full circle. And this is a great time to mention VJ George Strombopoulos, also known as Strombo, who you interviewed all throughout the book. And he is, he's amazing.
He's awesome.
He's the coolest. And he minced no words when he was introduced to this band. And he said, you know, I can't swear on the radio, so I'm going to say it this way. And I quote from your book, "This song is an effing smash," after he heard the song, "I'm Just a Kid." Can you say more about your interviews with Strombo for this book and his impact on bands like Simple Plan?
So the one thing with Strombo, because he's not a writer, that means that he didn't write this book 10 years before Adam and I did. So thank you for Strombo for sticking a broadcast. So when I was watching Much Music as a kid in the early 2000s, Strombo was the guy. And then Canada found that out in like 2004, 2005 when he moved from Much Music to CBC, because my parents loved Strombo and they would always leave the room when I would watch Much Music. And so he really is a fantastic broadcaster, but punk is his bread and butter, and I don't think a lot of Canadians know that he had a show on The Edge called Punkorama, where he would play bands, because on Much Music you needed a music video, so you needed some money, you needed some apparatus, but the bands that George liked were smaller than that, so he would get them on his show Punkorama and give them airtime and then help them try to make a music video so he could then play them on Much Music. But if he couldn't do that, he would wear their t-shirts on the air and people would find it on the internet.
I love that. That's how he knew. That's how people knew, kids knew, because of the t-shirt he was wearing. Like, that's so cool. What can you say more about Simple Plan's massive success? I know they've sold over 10 million albums and so much more. To what do you attribute to that band's incredible success, and how would you describe Simple Plan?
So the funniest thing about Simple Plan, people don't realize they're French-Canadian. They are all francophone. So I think that they took those like cultural, let's say, differences, and I think it really forced them to think about the essence of what makes a band popular and successful. Because when they were playing with bands that sounded just like them, but the lead singers had these thick Quebecois accents, Pierre Bouvier, the lead singer, he grew up in a bilingual household, so his English accent is indistinguishable. He does not sound French-Canadian when he speaks English. And so them, like little touches like that, like putting him on the mic, not because he was necessarily the best singer, but because he had the least distinguishable French-Canadian accent, so that they were more marketable to an Anglo crowd, I think really put them forward. And also his relationship to language. When he was songwriting, he's thinking way more about the phrases from a sonic perspective than from like the meaning. And so he's going to prioritize what's going to sound good, not what's going to mean how he feels, because he thinks in French. Nothing is going to truly be how he feels.
Right.
So I think that those things made them like more of a pop success than like a Sum 41. They took way more of a pop approach than a punk approach.
That's so cool. Well, I love this song. Another song added to my playlist, I'm Just a Kid, the song that Strombo said was a smash hit. Let's roll that clip. Tonight. So good, so good. You know, when I was listening to that song in the kitchen, I couldn't stop dancing. I was dancing my head off. And it's interesting because our associate producer, Chelsea, said, as a kid, listening to I'm Just a Kid, I felt like I was understood by someone, by the band and by the song. Mm-hmm. It has an upbeat and uplifting sound to it, but it's really speaking to the loneliness and isolation that adolescence often brings. Can you speak mm-hmm. to that?
Yeah, well, it's funny, Judy. When my mom was reading the book, my mom, Celia Bobkin, a good friend of yours, she also knew none of this music before really reading this book, other than the stuff I would play on the speakers as a kid. And so when she was reading that chapter, she texted me. She said, "I'm just a kid and life is a nightmare." Is that how you actually felt? I'm like, well, all kids feel that way. And that speaks to it, is that every kid feels alienation, and it's so plain spoken how they go about it. They don't mince words. They don't try to obscure it with poetic metaphor. And I think that really speaks to it. It got them a lot of hate in the punk scene, but I think that it really worked out for them, because kids like me, like literal a child, like single digit age, like, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, I loved this. I gravitated to this first. It was a really good gateway for me. And yeah, I mean, it just spoke to, when someone's mean to you at school, even though you're going to make up the next day, you go home and that's what you listen to, because you have one bad day and it feels like your whole life has been bad.
See, in today's day and age, we say Mel Robbins says, let them. We had punk rock to do it in your day, in the
I'm just a kid and life is a nightmare.
Exactly. There's so many different parts of punk, and there's hardcore punk. And I'd love to just quickly pivot into hardcore punk moving into the mainstream, if you will. Let's talk about the band Billy Talent, Canadian rock band, Mississauga. That's where they began. They formed in 1993, released their debut album in 2003. And the guy, I love the story you tell of Billy. I hope I can say his name right. Sorry, Ben Kowalowitz. Good. The lead singer and frontman of Billy Talent. And I quote from your book, the writing is just exquisite. I don't know if I mentioned that. It's engaging, it's exciting, it's compelling, and it's also beautifully written. Known for his distinctive high-pitched vocal delivery, electric stage presence, and socially conscious lyrics, he became an iconic figure in Canadian punk and alternative music. And how he brought up his band Billy Talent in a conversation with Jen Hurst. I love that story, who was up for an A&R position mm-hmm. at Warner Music Canada. Can you briefly tell us that story?
So Ben from Billy Talent was working at a radio station, but he wasn't telling his colleagues that he was in a band, because he didn't want to make it seem like his job was just his way of shoehorning his band in and getting them an in. And then finally it came up in conversation with Jen, a friend of his coworkers, and she went and saw them later that week and loved them so much that she decided that she was going to make them her first big signing
wow.
to Warner. And it, basically it worked out. And Jen actually came to the party last night.
Oh,
we got to hang out with
so
her.
Cool.
She's really awesome.
That's so cool. And he did that song, Try Honesty. Like, I don't know if we're going to have time to play it, but just great song as well. Try Honesty. Try Honesty. Is that really what it means? Like, just
basically. Well, and the fun thing with Billy Talent is that they are the oldest band members of the 9 artists featured in the book. They're the only Gen Xers. Everyone else is millennial. But because they didn't really take off until their mid to late 20s, they were able to write music that was way more political and engaged right out of the gate. They weren't doing I'm Just a Kid and Life is a Nightmare. They're doing, this war is bad. Why are we doing this? The Catholic Church needs to stop abusing people. That's what they were singing about,
right.
Which is pretty punk.
So cool. So guess what? Lovely, wonderful Owen in the control room over here is saying, I can play a bit of it, so let's do it. Try Honesty, everyone. Let's have a listen. Love that too. It is for hardcore, right? It's not as soft. It's not as melodic, if you will, but it works.
And Ben's screaming by the end of the song too.
Totally. And speaking of screaming, I mean, Alexis on Fire, Canadian post-hardcore band. And I don't know if we're going to have time to get into it. You've got to read the book, because it's just fantastic. But again, I wanted to say that I loved that Strombo, again, would wear the Alexis on Fire t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And you write in the book, that probably helped Alexis on Fire become media darlings. So would you agree with that? That
absolutely.
His approval, Let's talk about Fifi Dobson. Girl grows up in a poor neighborhood of Scarborough. She was relentlessly bullied by her classmates. I'm quoting a lot from you. And how she landed a major deal and went off to New York to make her debut album. And I love the line in your book, and I quote, oh, this is so cool. For any singer out there, listen to this line. Musical theater taught Dobson how to belt. Pop music taught Dobson how to connect. and her mom's record collection taught Dobson how to groove, but it was her older sister's rock music that would teach Dobson how to feel. I just like love that evocative description because it really takes
you to
where she is. And I mean, she did productions like The Wizard of Oz and did singing lessons at the Royal Conservatory of Music and, of course, devoured pop music with all of her friends. Can you tell us what you love about Fifi Dobson and why you chose her as one of the 9 artists to be featured?
Yeah, the thing with Fifi Dobson is that she didn't have this like kind of Hollywood story that Simple Plan, Sum 41, Avril did, where you know they release a hit album as teenagers and then they go on to be enduring successes for the next 30 years. She made one album. She had some massive hits on Much Music that I remember to this day. And then her label dropped her days before her second album was supposed to come out because they didn't like the direction she was going in. And she always was met with resistance, which I attribute to her being a black woman who wanted to make rock and punk music. And they said, no, like black women make R&B and pop.
Right.
And so I just loved her songs growing up, where the thing with Much Music is that I didn't realize which songs were big internationally and which ones were big only in Canada. And I knew that Fifi Dobson was big internationally, but there was just something about that story that always connected with me.
Yes.
And just learning what had happened to her. And then how she came back as a songwriter with songs by Miley Cyrus and Selena Gomez, that
yes.
they were all covering her music. It was always just like fun little trivia that always was interesting to me because I grew up on Fifi Dobson, because that quote-unquote one-hit wonder was a huge hit to me. And so I just always held this torch for her that she was misunderstood and that her story deserved to be told.
That's so fantastic. And there's also a great shot in the book, everyone, of Dan Cantor and Fifi Dobson, who went on tour in the U.S. in support of her debut album in 2003. That's so cool. And of course, Dan Cantor, Justin Bieber's guitarist,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, absolutely,
so
yeah.
That was very, very
yeah,
cool.
Alessia Cara as well, yeah.
Oh, Alessia Cara as well. I love when you write that even though Dobson's original record deal didn't pan out, she remains to this day a beacon of authenticity, I'm quoting here, resilience and self-preservation, someone willing to fight for who they are and what they believe in. Because she says, and I quote again, if you're true to yourself, your audience will find you, but it may take a while to get there. How true is that for everything, for writers, for artists, for singers?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I mean, even for me and Adam in this book, I mean, when we started research for it, we didn't realize this at the time, but there was kind of no hook. Like, there was no reason why we were doing it other than, well, this was just where our brains landed on one day. But 6 months later, all of the artists announced new albums. Simple Plan, Sum 41, Avril, Billy Talent, Fifi Dobson, and Alexis on Fire all announced new albums in early 2022. And then now, as the book is coming out, we have this moment of quote-unquote bi Canadian, where we have this new nationalism that is about promoting our own. And so, you know, it's I think the same principle where we've been writing about Canadian music to, you know, a couple thousand people, maybe 10,000 people at most for the last 10, 15 years. But now we have finally hit a time where people really care, where we're really wanting to take care of our own now. And so, you know, Fifi's words ring true. That's why she's such a good songwriter.
Your book is coming at such a great time. It's like, yay, Canada, right? It's
absolutely.
Really, it's really good
it's
stuff.
Cool.
What is the greatest golden nugget, Matt, that you would like people to take away from this really beautifully written and honestly so engaging, even for someone who never knew about this, In Too Deep? What do you want people to – what do you want to leave people with?
I think people need to realize that a lot of these bands, their strategy was in order to get big worldwide, we have to ignore Canada and go into the U.S. first. We have to get onto an American major label. A Canadian major label is not enough if we want to be worldwide famous. And that is a problem because that is still an issue to this day. Canada only pays attention to our own once we have a co-sign from the States. And as we've seen now, we can't rely on that. We need a self-sustaining Canadian arts economy. And I think this book proves that we have the talent. We just need the attention.
Can I say that I'm so proud of you?
Thank you. Thank
really,
you.
It's just fantastic. I know I've asked you this question before. I'm going to ask it again. What is bliss these days for Matt Bobkin?
I mean, coming off the high of the album launch, or that album launch, the book launch last night, I mean, it's just bliss right now. I mean, I'm just pure bliss right now. But I think generally it's just this feeling that as Fifi said, connecting with the art that I love actually works for people, and just being true to myself. So just geeking out about the things that I like, if it's pop punk or if it's about reality TV or if it's about whatever I'm reading these days, you know, connecting with that with other people and hearing what they're interested in, geekery and passion, that's bliss to me.
That's so cool. Have you started working on your next book?
I have some ideas, but awesome. We'll see.
Awesome.
I got to let the dust settle on this one first.
Will you come back and tell us all about it when
Absolutely.
It happens? Absolutely. I can't wait. Where can people find to get a copy of In Too Deep when Canadian Punks took over the world?
You can buy copies anywhere. We are in Indigo. We are in any indie bookstore in Canada. You could also go to House of Anansi, our publisher. You can buy it directly from them. They'll ship anywhere in the world.
That's so awesome. And of course, what is the best way for people to contact you and connect with you on social media?
I'm on Instagram. My handle is diskinbobulated, DISKINBOBULATED.
I want to start committing that to memory because I have to write Matt Bobkin every time. But by the way, guys, you can write Matt, MATT Bobkin in and you'll get,
that's true.
You'll get the handle correct.
But that's just kind of the vibe, discombobulated. I mean, it's a confusing world. It's a chaotic world.
True.
Got to embrace it.
So true. Thank you for making the world a better place with this book.
Oh, Judy, thanks for the kind words.
And thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
Great to have you. So we are going to go on a short commercial break. And when we come back, more of Finding Your Bliss with our next guest, dancer, choreographer, and founder of Boogie Babies, Deb Weir. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Statements made and opinions expressed on Finding Your Bliss belong to the host and guests on her show.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And thanks to Ash for Cleaners for sponsoring this segment of Finding Your Bliss. Ash for Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner by far, with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it, while always going the extra mile to make sure you leave with a smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship-shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. We are now joined by our next guest, dancer, choreographer, and founder of Boogie Babies, Deb Weir. And before we meet her, I'm going to tell you all about her. Deb Weir has been dancing since the age of 4 and hasn't stopped moving since. She started teaching dance at age 14 and continued sharing her love of movement through high school and university. And over the years, she's really taken on a variety of roles in the performing arts world, from choreographing and performing in 8 productions with the Unsung Heroes Troupe, to creating dances for Chat Productions, to working with Chicken Coop Theatre Company. I used to, in some of these productions, stand behind her because she's so good. All you need to do is stand behind Deb and you might get it. Where she led the kids division for 5 years. In addition to her dance background, Deb holds an honors degree in kinesiology from Western University and a degree in occupational therapy from Queen's University. She brings this strong foundation in anatomy and movement and body mechanics into every class she teaches, and that's really important. Always with a focus on helping other people feel capable, strong, supported, and that they can do it, especially with that smile of hers. During her university years, she volunteered in lactation clinics, NICUs, and maternity wards, helping new mothers navigate their journeys with confidence and support. And when Deb became a mom, she now has 2 teenagers and 3 stepkids in their 20s, she taught mom and baby dance classes during both of her maternity leaves and absolutely loved it. That experience eventually sparked the creation of Boogie Babies, a dance fitness program for parents and their little ones. And in it, she combines her passion for dance, her knowledge of movement, and her deep belief in the power of community to help parents connect, get moving, and have fun with their babies. And by the way, this is for grandparents and their kids as well. I love that. Deb, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So great to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
So let's start at the beginning, Deb. You've been dancing since you were 4 years old. And I want to ask you this. Do you remember the first time you stepped on a stage and danced? Do you have a memory of that very first performance?
I remember seeing the lights and just being so excited that they were for me. They weren't just my sisters who was dancing before me. It was my turn. And I was so excited to just be out on that stage. And it felt like home and always has felt like home.
And that's never left you. That is with you, I think, in every performance, that excitement. And I don't think you get nervous. Am I right?
Butterflies for sure. More nervous for today.
You're doing so great. You're doing so great. And I also love that you've been teaching since you were 14. So this really is your passion and your purpose and your calling. Can you tell us how that all came about and what makes a great dance teacher, in your opinion?
I started teaching dance at a young age, as soon as I had graduated from the highest level as a student in my dance studio. And I was young, so I wasn't allowed to tell anyone how old I was at the time. And then I continued teaching for a number of years through high school, and I really learned from my own teachers what makes a good dance teacher. And most importantly, you have to be supportive of your students. You have to encourage them. You have to make them believe in themselves. And that comes in the form of moving kids around, giving everyone a shot at the front row, giving everyone a shot at the mini solo or the mini lead part. I believe that every student has that something in them that can shine, whether or not they are bound to be a professional dancer one day or this is simply just a recreational thing. If they're there, they want to dance and they want to shine. So it's important for the teacher to give them that opportunity make them feel good about themselves.
What the audience can't see is when Deb was saying all of this, your whole face was lit up with animation. You'll see this on the YouTube video eventually when it comes out onto YouTube. But really, it's so interesting. It shows on your face how much you love what you do, which is so cool. So let's talk about your brainchild, Boogie Babies. What it is exactly, how did you turn your inspiration into this wonderful program for moms and their babies?
I knew I had to keep dancing. I had not been dancing for a number of years, partially due to COVID and circumstance surrounding that. Yes. And I needed to keep dancing, and I needed to find a way that I could do that in a meaningful way for myself and also for other people, get them dancing. I love teaching. I love choreographing. Coming up with the routines is 85% of the passion for me. It's just exciting to think about what people can be doing. And Boogie Babies came about because I love moms. I love babies. I truly miss that time in my life. Yes. And my kids were really little and really tiny, and I could pick them up and dance with them. And I still try to do that. But as teenagers, they're not quite as willing as the baby in a carrier. But for Boogie Babies, I wanted to create something where moms can have a community to be together and use dance as the catalyst for creating that village that every mom needs when they first have a child, particularly new moms, first-time moms. They're looking for other parents that have children of the same age that are going through similar experiences, same challenges, same exciting milestones.
Yes.
And so in the classes that I'm teaching, you can see the moms that when they're really connecting, when we sit in our circle and we go around, introduce ourselves, and we talk about what our baby's doing that week.
So great.
And you can see the nods of acknowledgement on all the other moms' heads when there's a joke or something's been funny with a baby, or they're spitting up constantly, or this week the baby just is interested in grabbing at hair. And so
that's great. That's so, so good. And I love that you have all kinds of classes. There's three major dance type classes: Dance Fit, Flex and Strength, and Dance With Me, which relate to newborns, babies, and toddlers. Can you tell us a little bit about Dance Fit, Flex and Strength, and Dance With Me?
Sure. Dance Fit is our first level program. It starts as young as 6 weeks, as soon basically as the mother is ready to re-engage in some sort of physical activity beyond walking. And it goes all the way up until as long as you can carry your baby in a carrier or hold them in your arms. And in that class, we wear our babies or hold them, and we learn a fun and simple and repetitive dance routine. So it's something that everyone can learn. Even those with two left feet can come in and take this class. I promise that.
I'll do that one.
The word dance tends to be very scary for some people. And I want to take the fear out of it because it really is meant for everyone. And the moves are very palatable for any level of dance. And for those who have had a lifetime of dance experience, it's just that much more fun to be able to enjoy dance with your baby. So that's our first level. The flex and strength class is for babies when they're too big for using a carrier. And we use the baby as a weight, as a resistance. We lift them, we move them, we reach towards them in our flexibility exercises. And that class focuses on flexibility and strength, as the name would suggest. But we still incorporate dance. We still learn dance routines, but we have a little more flexibility with what we can do. When you're wearing a baby in a carrier, you can't do a downward dog position. You can't bend over. It's hard to crouch down to the floor. But once the baby's on the floor and out of your arms, we can do those things, and we can move around them, and they can move around us. And it also allows the babies that are mobile to move around the floor and travel around a bit in the room.
And now you've got 2 to 4 year olds. So now they're toddlers, like they're actual little people. What happens in that class?
This one is one of my favorites because we dance together. The adults and the children learn the same moves, whether it's a simple step touch or clapping and jumping. And the parents are actually getting a great exercise because it's whole body workout, gross motor skill development. And the children are moving in a meaningful way. They might not be getting every step perfectly, but we're not worried about that. We just want to get them moving with us. We do a lot of follow the leader games, which really encourage interaction between the adults and the children, and then the children amongst themselves as well.
So cool. How fun is it to plan the playlist for all of these classes? And do you have a favorite song? If I was to say right now, play the song, what would it be?
I think my favorite song to teach right now is Crazy in Love by Beyonce. That one just has, it has such a great energy. And you cannot not feel good when you're dancing to this song. It's just, it really pumps you up and gets you going.
Do we have a little bit of Crazy in Love by Beyonce? I'm just going to ask you on the fly, but we can maybe play that later on. You say that the classes, Deb, are more about, they're more than fitness. They're about community. They're about confidence. They're about reclaiming your body. That's huge after baby. Can you say more about that?
The one thing I don't push is this is not a weight loss program. This is not, I'm not promising something that is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. What this class does is it gets you moving again in a meaningful way. And like you said, reclaiming your body after it's been through a lot. And so this helps regain your confidence that you can move, that you can retrain the muscles that have been stretched out over time. And like you said, community is bringing the moms together and finding each other to support each other through their journey.
That's so great. And you said something else very important, that moms are looking for a place to feel good about themselves, to manage stress, which is huge, and to promote mental health and well-being, which is such a big part of this show. How do these classes help moms and their babies get that serotonin and dopamine boost that is so needed at this time for them and really for anyone at any time? But
it's twofold. You get it. You get the feel-good feelings from being among other people in similar situations and sharing your ups and downs. But dancing to music actually produces more dopamine and serotonin. It releases the happy drugs, and we feel good when we're doing it. And the babies, actually, it enhances their cognitive development to be listening to the music and moving to the rhythm.
Okay, I have a great idea, but I need Jessica to come and see Deb. We're going to play a little bit of Beyonce, 30, 35 seconds, and in your seat, because if you stand up, you know, headphones, da-da, but just in your seat, when you hear the music, let's roll that clip of Beyonce. Just show us what this might look like.
All right.
From a sitting position.
And then we turn around and we give it a little walk with attitude and a turn. This is a little knee bend. And the other side. And movement. We're going to get our leg up and get our hips bumping. Turn around and step together, step together.
Awesome.
It's hard to do from a seat, but we really do. It's a lot of arm and leg movements, really. We don't bend the torso too much because we're wearing the babies in those classes.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
That was so great. Thank you for that. I love that. That was really fun. I was getting into that as well. You know, you've also, being a kinesiologist and studying what you've studied, how does that help make you stand out from the rest? And really, what makes Boogie Babies stand out from all the other Dance Fit programs of its kind?
From what I understand, there are not a lot of dance programs out there that are in person. There are a number online, and that definitely serves a purpose. But moms need their community, like I've mentioned, yes. And to be with other moms, to see their faces and to share your stories really is, I think, more impactful than an online experience. I've lost my train of thought. What else did you ask?
That's okay. We're going to move on to another really great thing, because you've said so many great things. I'm still like reeling from how great that was, to dance. It was like a little bit of a workout. I loved it. You also have, as a side note, a fabulous preschool daycare physical education class for 2 to 4 year olds, where classes are 20 to 30 minutes, depending on ages. This is so important for a lot of kids, focusing on gross motor skills, balance, and coordination. The kids are having too much fun to realize that they're getting some great exercise. It's one-offs, weekly or monthly class schedules available. Can you speak to that?
Yes, I've done a number of these recently, and they're a lot of fun. I've worked with age groups from as young as 12 months, just barely on their feet, so really just getting moving. So a lot of use of shakers and finding the rhythm and finding the beat, all the way up to four-year-olds. And in the class, we learn short little segments that are palatable for that age group, and star explosions with their arms and legs, and rainbow reaches with their arms. And you reach the kids on their level by talking about things that they're familiar with, like I said, like a firework or a rainbow. I use a lot of props that facilitate us with getting the kids moving. So rhythmic gymnastics ribbons, the kids absolutely love. And we can use big arm movements and swirling and spinning movements with that. Shakers get them moving and grooving. And scarves are fun to play with.
Colorful scarves.
Absolutely.
If you never, ever need any, I have so many of them. I could contribute some. That's so awesome. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course we're going to ask it to you. What, I think I know the answer, but what is bliss for Deb Weir?
Oh, it's twofold for me. There are two components that absolutely bring me joy. And one is seeing the moms connect with each other. When you see those nods of acknowledgement in the circle, it reminds me that this is what was needed. These moms needed this community. And it brings me a lot of joy to see that they're finding that. And second, on a personal, more selfish level, I absolutely love coming up with the routines in my kitchen. It is so much fun. I wear my weighted teddy bear to remind me of what it's like to wear a child in front. And coming up with the routines gets me excited about teaching them to the moms.
I have to tell you also, what's bliss for me has been talking to you, because you're so sunny, and she really does have the best, I've always said this to you, 1,000-watt smile. You know what's also bliss was seeing you in Montreal with Jack, and I just saw you so happy and so in your bliss. So
it was wonderful to see you there. A lovely surprise.
That was so fun. That was so amazing. What is the best way? How can listeners try this? Like, are there some free trials or summer programs? And how do people connect to all of this?
The free trials that we just had recently just finished, and I will be having some more over the course of the summer. We have 4 locations. We have one in Vaughan, just Rutherford and Kiel area. We have a location in Thornhill at Dufferin and Clark, a location at Bayview Village, and one at Lawrence Plaza. So really hitting all areas of the city, or the north end of the city, of course. And during the summer, I will be hosting classes in the Thornhill location and in the Lawrence Plaza location. Those programs will be listed this coming week on our website, which is boogiebabies.ca. You can also follow us on Instagram at boogiebabies, where we post regularly about the free classes that are available. Those tend to pop up on a week-to-week basis. So stay in touch and follow along so you can see when we have classes coming up.
That's so great. Well, I see it on your face, but just if you had to say, just in parting words, what do you love the most about this?
Well, the babies are really cute.
The babies are great, eh? Like, it's so tranquilizing to be around a baby.
It really,
and you get to do this, and you get, you know, it's your job. So it's so fantastic.
It really is. There are so many wonderful elements. It would be really hard to pick one.
I want to thank you so much, Deb, for being on the show today. It was really delightful to have you here. I'm so glad we did this.
Thank you so much.
It was fantastic. Each week, we spotlight fabulous people like Matt Bobkin and Deb Weir who are living their bliss. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation or mindfulness expert, a therapist, life coach, actor, dancer, writer, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. I'm actually wearing the latest Bliss bracelet. It's called the Bliss Bracelet Summer Edition with help from Beth Godfrey, who she's amazing. And so what do I do as the Bliss Coach? I help you get unstuck and gain clarity and find your passion and purpose so you can be like Deb and you can be like Matt Bobkin. And all you have to do is reach out to me at findyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebreck. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Again, I'd like to thank our wonderful guests, Matt Bobkin and Deb Weir, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie. Special thank you to Siobhan this week, if you're listening, Siobhan. Associate producer Chelsea Lockstedt, producer Eva Shabatai, Phyllis Newman, who's in the studio today. Oh, so great. Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Giuliani Anziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi. It's a big list today. And Owen, you're terrific. Thanks, Owen, and everyone here at Zoomer. And I want to thank our team at Find Your Bliss. And, of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebreck, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.